Hi guys, welcome back to Mostly Balanced with Mia and Carly.
Hi everyone, welcome back. We have a lot of listener questions to answer today and a lot happening. We haven't even hung out. We haven't seen each other. I'm about to travel again for another week and a half.
I know, we're both about to be away and I feel like we've said this before on here, but we're neighbors and we never hang out. So, but I feel like with cooler weather comes more opportunity for plans once we're both back from all of our fall travel.
Yes. Everyone else is like cuffing season in fall. Everyone's back. Summer's over. Travel plans are winding down. Fall's usually like the time to hang out in your like neighborhood with your friends, hang out in your city, but not us.
Yeah. Nope.
Maybe like winter's for us.
Yeah. I actually am so excited for winter. I don't remember if I said this or not, but I keep getting served these like reels on Instagram that are like, in this many days, the city will look like this. And it's like all the holiday decorations. I'm like so excited for
it. I love the holidays.
Me too.
I love winter in New York until January 1st. So then I hate it.
I mean, it lasts me through Valentine's Day.
That's true. Carly loves Valentine's Day.
I do, even when I'm not in a relationship. But yes, we have so many good listener questions today. We were like struggling to choose which ones to answer because we've been getting so many great relatable questions over the past couple of weeks. And we haven't had a solo in a few weeks. So we'll have one this week and then we'll answer questions we don't get to next week in another solo episode.
We just couldn't stop talking about sex for a few weeks.
Yeah, we had a lot of sex content. If you haven't listened, we had two great episodes. We had Vanessa and Xander, who are a couple who work together. Well, she's a licensed sex therapist and he is her husband. And so he's basically educated through her,
yes.
But also just offers the perspective of like a normal male in a heterosexual relationship. I mean, they shared about their own sex life, but then just like a lot of great sex advice. And then we had Natasha Miller, who had another great relatable take. So go back and listen to those if you haven't. But today we're going to dive into listener questions. And then next week we'll chat more about what's going on with us. And then in a few weeks, we'll update you on all of our travel. But for now, I feel like we can just dive right in because we have a lot of good topics.
Yes. Well, let's just pick some. So we both loved this question. Feeling resentful of the shit I put up with in my last relationship. How do I let it go? I mean, talk about a relatable question asked to two girls that were in toxic relationships. So what were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is like so spot on. Like, I feel like it just couldn't be more, like you said, it couldn't be more relatable. I feel like everybody has relationships that they kind of like, even if you're not resentful for the, like, if you try not to harbor resentment for the other person, like I sometimes have been more so like mad at myself. Like, wait, what was I doing? Why did I do that for that long? And who was I during that time? Like we've had those conversations before where we're like, what? Like we would never put up with some things that we put up with in previous relationships. And you kind of start to like, first of all, hold on to these angry feelings toward that person, but then you also hold on to those feelings toward yourself. So I've definitely been there. I feel like the thing that helps me the most is like really like I do actually believe that even a toxic relationship that like really is can be really harmful on you like emotionally does teach you something and it helps you grow. So I'm not like out here promoting toxicity. I don't think that means you should go see a toxic relationship. But if you have been in a relationship that you would identify that way or even just any relationship that was like really tough, a tough breakup, you were cheated on, whatever it was, there's always going to be something that you can learn from it or take away from it. Even if it's like red flags that you wish you saw sooner or something like that. But a lot of times it's like it teaches you what you deserve because you weren't getting it. And then it shows you how to like find that moving forward.
Yeah. And I think I love what you said about when you're in those situations. And even I think back to like early on in this podcast, when we would talk about, I would specifically talk about like a toxic relationship that I was in. And I feel like you can come at it in that very resentful, like self-righteous, like he did this and this and this. But over years of like rethinking about it and having conversations with so many people, I was an active participant in that relationship. So much of that, I understand this person's question and like resentment towards myself for why I put up with that, because you can go around all day. It's like I was in an 8-year relationship with someone who was terrible and cheated on me. And like, why? And I completely relate to like looking back and feeling so stupid and regretting how I handled so many situations. And I could replay lots of scenarios over and over and over in my head and wish I acted so differently. But like you said, there's no use in really holding on to that anger towards yourself, but you can turn that into what's going to make your next relationships better and how you want to navigate the next relationship. So I think, yes, like the resentment that you're holding on is probably unfair to you, but if you just spin it and turn it into a tool to help you get what you want in relationships, then great. So I think it can be useful, but I think all that you can do in those situations is know exactly what your worth is and try to apply that in your next relationship and always approach with confidence in who you are and what you want, and that you did learn something and get out of a relationship that was bad for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because also, like, aside from just being mad at yourself for doing that, for me, the biggest repeating thought in my head that kind of drove me crazy after I came out of one of those relationships was I just wasted so much time. And I feel like that's the biggest thing, especially I think like as a woman, that you think like, oh my God, like those were like my prime years, or those were the years that like so many of my friends were meeting the person that they were gonna marry, or like, oh my God, imagine if I had just been single during that time, like what I could be doing right now or who I could be with right now. And like, I had those thoughts so many times, it was like on repeat. But like the thing that you have to realize is that, at least in my experience, the toxic relationship that I'm referring to that lasted for probably like 3 years on and off was basically a combination of every relationship I'd had before that, but like a little bit worse. So it was like a pattern, but it was kind of like climbed up to this thing that I like couldn't ignore at that point. So it was like, it kind of, when you have a relationship that's like that, that leaves that much of a mark on you in like a negative way, it might be helpful to think like, oh wow, like were some of these things present in past relationships and I just wasn't tuning into it? Because you attract the things that you're used to. So it's probably, there's probably like at least a bit of a pattern. So you can kind of use this as like a blessing in disguise, that this time it kind of like beat you over the head and you know exactly what was wrong with the relationship. So you can really actually learn from it. And if I hadn't had that relationship, I very well could still right now be in very similar like situationship after situationship or relationship that like wasn't right for a number of reasons, but I wouldn't have learned the lesson because it wouldn't have been like that cut and dried. So that's like one way to look at it, that I think it helps you identify patterns that you might have. And that's really the best way of like meeting the person who's right. So I think reflect as much as you want to, but focus more on like moving forward, because I think that like harboring that anger at yourself or at the person isn't going to help at all.
Yeah. And I think when you are angry at your past and just like one unsure why you put up with things, like think about that and sit with that too. I was just listening to Oversharing and Terry Cole was on their episode. And I first found out about Terry Cole because my mom was reading a book called Boundary Boss and it caught my eye.
Oh, yeah. I remember you mentioning it.
Yes. So I was listening to that and she mentioned, which really stood out to me too, like even in any relationship, if you like want to figure out like where you are lacking strong boundaries, like think about times you feel really resentful towards people. And I think even like your past self, but I think when you feel like you're bending over backwards, like people are overstepping your boundaries, disrespecting you, you're not standing up for what is true to you or what you actually want, or saying no to things you don't want. And if you're coming out of a relationship where you're thinking about all of the things you put up with, a lot of that, like, yes, you could say that person was disrespectful. You could say that person was a bad boyfriend or girlfriend, but you can also do a lot of self-reflection and think of like, what boundaries did I just completely not have for myself, where I was allowing this person to kind of walk all over me and allow me to be mad at and resentful of even of myself. So I think there's a lot there. And I recommend, I've never read this book, Boundary Boss, but I think my mom gave it a stamp of approval. So I think we can all work on boundaries, and they play a huge role in having a healthy relationship with someone new.
Yeah, I've never read the book either. And I also haven't listened to the episode yet. So you beat me to an Oversharing episode. But yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it's obviously all of it is easier said than done, but it really is a learning experience. So I think that like, it's all about the mindset shift for this one. There's no like one thing we're going to say that's going to make you forget about all these things that you're sort of angry about from the past relationship. But switching your mindset is going to be what helps you let it go. Like she said, how do I let it go? That's going to be the biggest thing. And also know that you might not ever like fully get over it. There's a difference between being able to like think about it differently and move on and like fully just being completely fine with everything that happened. Like I still am like mad at myself for things that I put up with, but also able to, like I said, learn from it and grow from it and like apply that to the relationship I'm in now. But that doesn't mean that like things don't still trigger me and I can like clearly identify that it came from that relationship. Those are things that like you'll probably always be working on or like dealing with, but that's kind of like a healthy thing too, because it helps you react better in the future or like understand things about yourself better.
Yeah. A bad relationship is a rite of passage.
Yeah, at least one. Okay, somebody else said, boyfriend and I broke up. We were toxic together. Now we understand attachment styles. He wants to work on himself and then come back. good. So this question I actually answered on her story. So I'll just say what I said there and then we can kind of talk about it. But I basically said that I would definitely be really hesitant to get back with somebody who I had what I describe a toxic relationship with, pretty much like what we were just talking about. Even if you've both grown, like even if I was single right now and the person that I dated that was super toxic, that we were toxic together, I've done so much work, I know. But like if he was like, oh, I did all this work, I would just never entertain that again. And the reason for that is because everything we were just talking about, like growing and learning from it, is like huge. And it's amazing that you guys have now learned about something like attachment styles or something that you feel is making you, would make you a better partner, would make you guys work better together. But I personally think that that growth and knowledge would be best applied to your life on its own and maybe like a future relationship versus going back to that same one. I just think going back to it is bound to bring out those same behaviors. Like as much growth as you've done, the biggest threat to that will be going back with somebody who brought out all of that toxicity and all of those, whether it's like insecurities, just like bad behavior, that's just going to come flying right back to you.
I agree. I think people can do work and they can change, and someone's bad ex-boyfriend is going to be an amazing boyfriend to someone else. I think it's totally possible to change. I think it's totally possible to show up to different people in different ways. So I'm sure the person I am in my relationship now is completely different than the person I am in a relationship in the past. And yes, you grow and you change, and that has to do with like growth and time passing. But I think it also just has to do with the compatibility of two people together and like the things that you bring out in each other. And we always say a relationship is like a mirror. So I understand exactly what you're saying. Like you could do all the work and read all the books and be a completely different person. But I think when you're with a relationship that was once toxic, you'll bring those sides of each other out. And I just wouldn't entertain an idea of getting back together with someone that, like you said, you called toxic in the past.
Yeah. I feel like you'd also just always be waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right. You have this history. Yeah. And I think like, I don't know. I was in a relationship where we broke up and got back together. And I think we even like broke up for a year, like a pretty significant amount of time, and then got back together. And it was so easy just to slip back into the same like fights, bitterness, little comments, like especially if you have a history with this person, it's so easy to just slip back into all of the behaviors that you once did. And I saw that happen with myself too. And I am of the mindset of like new person, like clean slate. That's why I think if you cheat in a relationship, like that doesn't mean you'll cheat in the next relationship. I don't believe in once a cheater, always a cheater. But I kind of believe that if you've established that behavior with a person, like it's more likely to happen there again. So same thing as like all these other bad, toxic traits that maybe she's talking about.
Yeah. Like once a cheater in that relationship, always a cheater in that relationship, but not in future relationships. I get it. It's kind of like seeking redemption for the relationship, like similar to the last person who said that they're like holding on to all these feelings and like so mad at themselves or just mad about a past situation. Nothing would feel better than to like revive that situation. And it's amazing. And you guys have done all this work and then you succeed. And that's like, what a story. But think about instead having a new relationship. That's like the best redemption for all your past, like, quote, failed relationships. Like,
right.
For a while, I did think, like, wow, what if I could get back together with that person and it was great? Like, I'm such a different person now. Like, but like, now I'm like, oh my God, like now I'm in like an actual healthy relationship and it just makes me view all those paths. It's what made me able to answer that previous question with that mindset of like, you learn from it. But if I went back to that, I would probably just be the same person I always was before.
Yeah, there's so millions and millions of people you could be dating. That's why I just don't think there's really ever a reason to get back together with an ex, because I think you can work on, yes, there are exceptions. You can grow, you can change. It could be a very specific thing you broke up for that has changed and now it has the ability to grow and be a great relationship. But I just think there's so many other people out there. Like, why try to make something work with someone that already failed?
Yeah. Well, it's because you're afraid you're not going to meet somebody else. Like that's ultimately like that's the only reason I've ever gotten back with anyone.
Exactly.
Honestly, I've never like gotten back with anyone for that reason, but that's the only reason I've let other situations drag on for too long. Like not even an on again off, but like just staying in the wrong situation for too long, getting back together with an ex, whatever it is. It's because you think that you're not going to be able to find something better. And you think that that's what you deserve. And even if you're not like willing to admit that, or you don't like feel that on the surface
level, it's a subconscious feeling. Some part of
you
thinks
that like, that this is the behavior that you deserve and that there's nothing better out there for you, but there is. So don't get, because this is like, I'm glad we're diving deep into this because we answered this on our story, like I said, and we did get a response that was like, oh, can you like go deeper into this? Because like, I don't get like why you shouldn't try it again if somebody's changed. And that's a normal mindset, because I'm sure every person listening who's gotten back together with an ex did it because their ex said they grew, or they thought that they grew themselves.
Yeah, like, you don't get back together. No one who's gotten back together with an ex did it because everything stayed the same and things were all horrible. Like something, there was a promise made or some like words spoken that things are different now. And I would venture to guess most of those relationships didn't work out. I'm not saying like this is the worst decision in the world. If you like really want, like you're the one in the relationship, not us. We don't know anything more than what came in a question box. So
yeah.
Ahead and try. I just don't see lots of my con list very much outweighs my pro list. And
me too.
I think that it's just kind of bound to slip back into those behaviors. And there's so many other people out there that you'll deserve. And it totally is like a reflection of what you think you deserve. And it's so easy to just like hear that or read that. But when you actually like sit and think about that and reflect on that, you'll probably see that it's true.
Yeah. And like, of course, there's people listening who have gotten back together with an ex and now they're married, or their friend did it and now it's going great. And so like, we're not saying nothing that no advice we give is like fits for everybody. But I would say the vast majority of people would be better served in a new relationship.
I agree. Someone wrote in, turning 35 soon and still single, totally freaking out and in panic mode. Help. So was this a female?
Yes.
We've had versions of this question before, and I think this is the most relatable feeling for people, especially women who are in their 30s and single, and it has to do a lot with comparing to life stages of all of the people around you, comparing where you are to where you thought you would be at this age. It has to do with comparing yourself to societal timelines, biological timelines. Like these feelings are completely valid, but we've heard this and given this advice in the past. And I know you answered this on our story, but I think about this time as a very unique time that is fleeting, and your time will come to be in a relationship. If you want one and you put the work in and you meet people, like you'll find someone. You very rarely hear these stories of people who just like simply never found someone in the world. So I think if you kind of put aside the anxiety and worry about not meeting someone, just put that aside and focus on all of the like great opportunities that you have now being single and the ability to just like know yourself and have fun and meet people. And I feel like as soon as you take the pressure off, you will find someone. While still like actively looking, we never really like the idea of like someone will just fall on your doorstep. There is work to go into it, but everyone has their own timeline, and you will find someone and enjoy the time that you have now. And I would think from a like scientific standpoint, like freeze your eggs if this question is like based on your biological timeline and like worrying about starting a family and when. Like there are, if you have the resources, amazing resources to take advantage of. So you can maybe take a little of that stress like off of you on your everyday life.
Yeah. If that's an option for you, that's something that you're like open to doing, I think that could really take a lot of that pressure off. But also just like even going and talking to a doctor and maybe understanding that like you have more time, you might have more time to have kids than you might think, if that is one of the things that's really making you feel not rushed, but just kind of making you feel like you have a specific timing that you want this to happen. But like as somebody who was dating, I was 33 and dating and like didn't and hadn't had a relationship in like a decade, like an actual real relationship. Like everything was situationships. I never had something that was like someone I actually was calling my boyfriend like that. I like genuinely felt like for a chunk of that time, I was just like, okay, this might just not happen for me. And I feel like I like went through those phases, and I'm not just saying this, but like I literally didn't meet the right people. Like I didn't start meeting good potential matches and actually having like traction in my dating life until I stopped thinking that way. And I don't know like one thing that made me stop thinking that way, but it was like a combination of a lot of the things that you just said, like just actually like enjoying my life like on its own and thinking, why am I in such a rush? Like, what am I, why am I telling myself? You're literally telling yourself a story that you're not going to meet anybody. Like that's a story that you've made up yourself. So like instead think of the actual facts, think of the number, like literally look up the dating apps you're on and look at the number of people that are on that app. Look at like the average age people get married. Like if you're in the city, I'm pretty sure like the average age guys get married is like in their mid-30s, like at least. Like I think that it's so much more common now that people meet somebody, quote, later in life than like they would have expected. Like I definitely did. I feel like if you had asked me when I was like 21, I probably would have thought I would be like married by the end of my 20s. I don't think I like actively thought about it at that point, but I probably would have guessed that. And I, like I said, didn't meet somebody for a lot longer than I expected. And the only reason I was able to is because I was able to think about it in sort of like a less pressure filled way.
Right.
It also like takes the pressure off of each individual date, which like makes it more likely for it to go well. If you're just going into every date thinking either it's never going to happen or like, oh my God, I hope this is the person that I'm going to like end up with and marry. Like either way, that's too much pressure and just like takes the fun out of it. Like it could actually be fun if you kind of like take that thought out of it.
Right. If you're going on every date thinking like, oh my God, is this going to be the person I settle down with? Is this going to be the person who I start a family with? Like that attitude and mindset, I think will just bring so much pressure and so much stress on every single date. And I think it will also, it potentially would allow you to get into relationships or start dating someone or dragging something on a little too long that's not right for you because like trying to make something work. And I know it's so hard. And I like someone else asked us a manifestation question. And I think part of those ideas are can be applied to this. Like if you truly believe you will meet someone who will be amazing and great, but you have to, a lot of manifestation is loving your life as it is now and like really visualizing it happening and like believing that it will. And I know that's like a little woo-woo for this conversation, but I just think if there's like anything you can do in your mind to have the pressure taken off, great, but understanding all the concerns there. And I mean, don't even like get me started on the mating gap of like, yes, men can get married at any time and like could marry a 20, they could be 45 and marry a 25-year-old. But like women just don't have a lot of those same options as men if you do want a family.
Yeah, which like really sucks. But also like one other thing that I'll say is dating is so much more fun at that point. Like it's literally, I feel like that's the one downside of, or one of the downsides of people who meet their long-term partner early on is that they don't get to like have the experience of dating in your 30s. Like it actually is so fun if you let it be. Like hopefully, or primarily, a lot of the times people are more established in their career, not to mean like that you're making tons of money or that you're exactly where you want to be like in your ultimate career goals, but you likely like have a firm understanding of what you're doing or you feel like confident, more confident in yourself. You're just like happier with your life overall. And if you're not, then like that's a better place to start than searching for a partner. You don't have to be in like the perfect stage of life to find somebody, but you should be generally happy with who you are and like how your life in general is going. And if you are, then that makes dating so fun. And you've also had all those terrible relationships before, or like whether even if you've never had a relationship, like you've had dating experiences or you've listened to podcasts like this, or you've sort of learned from your friends' experiences and you know what you're looking for so much better and you know what you'll accept. And that's, I've like sometimes surprised myself in my current relationship, even just by like the things that I feel like so confident, like openly talking about with my partner, just like saying to them that I would probably have ruminated for like a week texting Mia over like one like conversation and how I was going to bring it up. And now it's just so much more comfortable because you're confident in yourself and you've learned a lot and you've grown a lot. So there's like a lot of pros to dating in your 30s. You probably don't have, it makes things a little bit more frustrating because you don't have the patience to put up with things. So you're probably like frustrated by these people that are kind of like testing those boundaries. But every time you kind of turn one of those people down or like swipe no on someone, just realize that like your younger self might not have done that. And that's like, you're just weeding them out a lot more quickly now.
I love my 30s. They're the best. Yeah. They're best years yet. And it's for so many of those reasons. Like when I was dating in my early 20s, like on apps, I like had no idea what I was doing. I was not happy in my job. I was like in my first New York apartment. I had no money. Like dating, like, and then I have all this pressure on me. I don't know why. It's like 23, like to find someone. It's just like a time where you kind of feel so insecure, or at least I did. So I completely agree that in your 30s, you just have a little bit more confidence, or you should. this is the time to like really do the things you love and follow the things you love. And when you do that, I'm sure you will find someone who is a good match for you.
And you're dating people with more confidence and like more security.
Yeah.
So we've talked about that before too, where it's kind of different because you're more set in your ways and it makes you more selective, but you kind of know that this is the person that, not to say you don't change at all after your 30s, but you go through a lot less, I would say, personality changes or like major values changes on average than you would in your 20s. So you kind of know what you're getting when you meet somebody. Whereas if you're with like your high school sweetheart, you might've felt like you've been dating like six different people over the past decade by the time you're in your 30s.
Yeah.
So a lot of advantages to it, but that's not to minimize the feeling. Like I said, I've definitely felt similarly before at a similar age. And I have friends that I know that are that age or older that have like not had a relationship either ever or in so long. And I know how frustrating it can be. But again, I've seen them as well, like be able to shift their mindset and see the difference that it makes. Even just I'm thinking of like one friend and like lately, I feel like the vibe that she has after a date, even if it didn't go well, is so much more lighthearted and less of like, oh, this is terrible. The apps suck. And like, I'm never going to meet someone on that. And I can just tell that she's probably so much closer to meeting somebody because she has a better mindset about it. So common theme is this, these are like all mindset shifts that help so much.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't know exactly why the 35 is making her panic, but there's so much, like so much can change in 1 year and 2 years and 5 years. And I think even if you look at people who did find someone in their later 30s, like I always used to tell Carly this, like I've said it on here before, my sisters were all examples to me because they all met or started dating the people that they're with now in their mid 30s, and all of them are now married with multiple kids and no one was in a rush and they found the right person for them in their mid 30s. So I think it's also helpful to like find someone or multiple people who did have all of that, like did live their life fully and followed all of the things and did what they wanted in their 30s and took advantage of that really like fun, confident time. And then confidently found someone who was a great match for them and then went on to have families like when it was ready for them and like had their careers and had their fun and had their like fun dating and fun living in the city with friends experiences. So it's like if you can even just think of some people or examples, then maybe it will take a little bit of the stress off because you'll see that you can have it all.
Yes. Find expanders. Find people who have met somebody around that age or older than that, even if it's like a celebrity or something like that. Just find people whose stories you can read or listen to and you'll feel more confident.
I mean, look at the Golden Bachelor. He's 72. Putting himself out there.
Gary?
Gary.
I actually might watch it and I've never watched an episode of The Bachelor.
I think I want to watch it.
Yeah, I'm so intrigued. Although there is a new season of Love is Blind out and you know that's my one reality show. So I
know. I think Golden Bachelor is going to be my reality show. I love it.
Yeah, look at the Golden Bachelor. What is he, 70?
72.
Okay, this next one is definitely something that a lot of people can relate to. 1 year in and they're in a long distance relationship. I saw him talking to 4 other people online on our second vacation. Breakup? Question mark.
Wait, but then she also gave you more information.
Right. Because so I answered it and said, I'd say talk to him before jumping to the breakup, but this isn't sounding good. And then she wrote back and said, talking to these people right. So I think she means talking to these people right in front of me from the same app we met on. He says he's just talking to them when he's bored. I knew about this. I think she found out about this a week after she just met his family and friends. And he's also met her family and friends a few months before. So recap, they're in a long distance relationship. They've been together for a year. They've met each other's families and friends. It seems like, of course, since they don't live in the same place, they probably see each other a lot less frequently. But this was on what she said was their second vacation. I don't know if that's like the only time they see each other as vacations or if this was like a vacation they took together. But moral of the story, he's talking to other people on app. So it's not even like an Instagram message. It's literally on the app that they met on. She saw that he was in the midst of 4 conversations on there. So obviously by my tone, you can tell what I think.
Yeah. Breakup? Question mark. Yes.
Yes.
That is my answer as well. And his response, I just talk to them when I'm bored.
Yeah.
That's gaslighty. And I think if you dive into that and you ask a little more, like, is he unfulfilled with a long distance relationship? Because probably.
Yeah.
Is this not working out for either of you because you're craving someone who is in your area that you could see and have a relationship with, where you see each other much more frequently. And it sounds like those are the questions and conversations that need to be happening. And it's masked in him talking to people behind your back and then telling you it's because he's lonely. So yes, I think this relationship needs to end, but not like simply because of those reasons, but for all of the other ones I'm saying, that this relationship is not really panning out to be the thing that is fulfilling for each of you. And he's seeking other attention, other relationships. And the fact that he's kind of like masking that and he's not doing anything wrong is also crazy, because I mean, and if it's up to your relationship to decide boundaries and decide what exclusivity means and what cheating means to you, but this would be like major red flag for me. And if he's hiding behind and doesn't have the courage to end the relationship and just like telling you it's because he's lonely, then like this is not the right mature person for you. Because I think a mature person would be upfront about those things. Like, hey, I'm not really feeling totally happy in this situation. I'm finding myself wanting to meet other women or wanting to talk to other women. Like, I think those are the conversations that someone who is more confident and secure would have with you before like acting on it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. Like, he's the worst part about this, honestly, is that he's making it seem like it's no big deal because he's bored. I do think that the way that I interpret that is he's kind of saying, oh, well, I'm only doing this when I'm not around you, since we're in long distance. Like, I'm just chatting with them to fill the time until I'm with you. And that's where that comes in of like, well, that's not like, that's if you still view that as cheating, or like not even, you don't even have to go as far as to call it cheating, but like you still view it as breaking your trust in the relationship. And it's not something that you'll accept. And that's just, that's what it comes down to. And that's what you have to say. I think that 9 out of 10 people at least would say that this is unacceptable behavior in a relationship and would not be okay with their partner in an actual relationship, like their boyfriend messaging people on dates.
But talk to your friends. Yes. What, you're just like talking to these people, or there's no intention of ever meeting them? Like, these conversations are not like airing on like flirtatious or sexual or inappropriate, because
yeah,
I just don't believe that. I don't know if I'd believe that
either. I'm like, why are you so bored?
Yeah, like, get a hobby.
Be more interesting. I literally would just be, this would be a huge turnoff for me. And like, I mean, I would obviously be really upset. You're a year in, you've met each other's friends and family. So it's everything that we've already talked about in this episode, where you feel like you have a lot invested in this relationship and you feel afraid of walking away from it. But like if he's truly leading you to think that maybe there isn't something wrong with this, then I do agree that that's gaslighting behavior. That's something that he's manipulating you into believing, when it's not the case. Like, he broke your trust. It's strange that he's doing it right in front of you. Like, maybe give him the benefit.
He's asking for this.
Yeah, like, but like, maybe say like, oh, is he your boyfriend? Like, have you had a conversation that you're exclusive? Obviously, if you haven't, then maybe this is the time to do so. But if that's something that you've talked about, then this is not acceptable. But I've been in like situationships that literally last like almost a year. And so like, this very well could be like a situationship where you've never discussed if you are boyfriend, girlfriend.
Like, never discussed, are we deleting apps?
Yeah.
Like, never discussed, like, are we still talking to other people on the apps? Because I'm going to do it right in front of you.
Okay, honestly, like, when we're laughing, but like, that could be the case. Like, that's sometimes easy to happen, because like, as simple as communication is, like, it feels so hard. So if you haven't had those conversations, use this as a chance to have that conversation. But also, like, think really hard about, even if he does say like, I'm not going to do it anymore, okay, I do want to be in a relationship with you exclusively, think hard about the way that he handled it. I would have liked, if you haven't had those conversations, I would have liked for him to be like, oh yeah, I'm still talking to people, like, we haven't had that conversation yet, rather than like, I just do it when I'm bored. Like, that's just such a lame excuse.
Yeah, I hate it. It would be a deal breaker for me, but you're right. Like, maybe those conversations haven't happened and this is either an opportunity to do so, although I don't like that it would be precedented by shady behavior and not really an upfront conversation. I think, you know, going back to boundary boss, these boundaries aren't unrealistic for you. It's not controlling for you to say, I expect in a relationship that my partner wouldn't be still on apps, still talking to women when I'm not with them. Yeah, that's not you controlling your partner. That's you like establishing the boundaries of your relationship.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's manipulative in itself that he's like introducing you to his family and like meeting your family, especially if you're not like having conversation. He's not telling you like kind of like what he wants. Okay, should we do one more?
Yes. This one says, Boyfriend gets upset when I ask for alone time, though I explained I need it to recharge. Any suggestions? This is your boundary. You like alone time. You want to watch your alone shows. You need alone time. I also like some alone time to recharge. Carly, too. I think that you can just have a conversation where, like, you can say, this doesn't mean I don't love you, don't enjoy spending time with you. I'm a better partner to you when I have the time for myself to kind of regroup and do the things I like and recharge. And maybe even, I think in this situation, you could say how long, like define what that means to you, how long it is, how many hours, when it's ideal for you, and have a compromise. So your partner doesn't feel abandoned or like you don't love them or you don't want to be with them. It's really just more of a little boundary that needs to happen in your relationship. And I think if they know more and you just explain more and they know there's like an end time to it, or you have an established plan for afterwards, great. I think that would be a little more digestible. And then hopefully this just becomes more of a habit in your relationship that's just understood, and less of like, what did she say? He gets upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he can get over that.
Well, I love what you said about kind of making it about both of you. Make it about the fact that you can feel, literally say, when I don't have my 2 hours per week or my one night per week or my 3 days per week, whatever it is, when I don't have this amount of time, and like you said, be specific to go out by myself and take myself out to dinner, or to stay in and do my favorite skincare or watch my alone shows. If I don't have that time, I can like feel myself getting irritable and more sort of short tempered with you. And I just feel like I'm not being my best self in the relationship when I'm not giving myself that like self-care and alone time that I need. And I don't want to snap at you. And like, I don't want to show up like that for you. So when I'm telling you I want this alone time, it's not because I want to like get away from you. It's because I want to be like the best girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever I can be when we're together. Making it about them, I feel like just kind of helps them understand, because it can. And like, as much as I like love my alone time, I'm trying to think, like, because I haven't really dated people who have, maybe it is like a female thing, but like, I haven't dated people who have said like, I need time alone to like recharge.
Right.
But if I did, even if I like would like that time alone, I probably, my initial reaction would probably be like taking a bit of offense, or feeling like maybe a sting of like, oh, that hurts. Like, they would rather hang out by themselves and do nothing than hang out.
Right.
Everyone, someone told me they couldn't hang out because they had their backpack.
Yeah, that stung.
Yeah, like it stings when someone says they don't want to see you for like literally no reason other than being with their self. But like explaining to them the reason behind that could be like super helpful. So that also like leads me to my other point, is that they probably actually don't really care. Like, if he gets upset with you in the moment, if you just stopped and talked about it for 30 seconds or 5 minutes, I feel like he would probably just be like, oh yeah, like that's like totally, I totally get that. But in the moment, he might initially be like, oh my God, by yourself? Or like, oh, you don't want to hang out with me tonight? That could just be like an instinct. So it could be worth it to just like have a quick conversation about it, because they also might think you like want to hear that. Like, I feel like guys think that you like want to hear that they want to be around you more, or like, oh, you want to do that without me kind of thing. And if you just explain that to them, then hopefully they'll stop that like offended behavior.
Yeah. And I don't know if these people live together, because I do feel like I've never had to, well, for a long time, I really hated being alone. But now that I like it, it kind of does happen naturally. Like, Dan will travel. He's away right now. So I have like a night alone. And like, I've learned to really like being alone. I look forward to it. I like my alone shows. I like just making my own meals, and like not all the time. I don't love when Dan goes away, but I've learned to really enjoy the time. And I do think like in a lot of relationships, these like cadences of just being alone and nights alone, and you have separate plans, I think that naturally will happen if you just keep up lives that are separate. Mm. But I can't relate so much because I'm only a new alone time liker. But I think if you need it, it's alone time, just make it happen. And I think I agree with you. I think, I don't know. If Dan told me he wanted alone time and he like wanted me to leave, I would be a little upset, but
yeah,
it would need to be explained a little more to me, like we both said.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think honestly, then also maybe like if he does remain slightly upset, just be okay with the fact that he's slightly upset. Like that's as long as you've explained it to him and he like is, I understand, but like, oh, it's still like, still wish we could hang out together. Like, don't harbor that guilt. Just be like, accept it. And then, like we said, you'll show up better in the relationship when you're getting that recharging time alone that you need. And it's something that definitely like a lot of couples deal with. And if you're not dealing with it, like maybe think about spending some time alone.
Yeah.
Here and there.
I think turn him on to the concept of alone shows. I think he'll really take a liking to it. and the ones that also want some alone time.
We should do a poll that's like having people share their alone shows. I'm really curious.
I need more. I actually just like built up my roster of alone shows today. I asked for some recommendations. So I have Sweet Magnolias, which you watched. Mm-hmm. Never Have I Ever. Oh. And Virgin River are on my new alone show list.
All right. And
the Golden Bachelor.
Well, Golden Bachelor is going to be added to mine too. I still have to finish The Summer I Turned Pretty. So I'm going to do some of that tonight and tomorrow in my alone time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Love is Blind isn't an alone show. I watched that with Sean.
That's fun. Conversation starter.
Well, hopefully this really helped.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for sharing your questions and for like giving the follow-up details. Those are our favorite. So if you take this advice, don't take this advice, let us know what happens. I love hearing updates.
Yes. Thanks so much for listening. Keep sending in your questions.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening. Send your questions to hello@wearemostlybalanced.com or send us a DM on Instagram @mostlybalancedpodcast.